हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 15. Point 11. The following should be considered. When the greed arises, quote, I should have this bhava, end quote, on hearing the sweetness of conjugal and other bhavas presented in the associates of Krishna in his Braja pastimes, there should be no dependence on the influence of scriptures, since in its presence greed cannot be achieved. Greed cannot be produced by any means at any time by following the rules of scriptures. Rather, greed spontaneously develops on hearing or seeing an object worthy of greed. Right? So that means this idea that you can construct a process for Raganuga Bhakti doesn't exist. Right? It just doesn't happen. It means that spontaneous attraction to Krishna, it just comes on its own because Krishna is worthy of that spontaneous attraction. Has nothing to do with, no, you have to study this, you have to do this. These are rules. These are vaidhi. Right? We're used to singing, no, that's rag, because that's what the material mind says is rag. But it's not actually. Right? So, there's no, it depends on the influence of scripture. So scripture says, oh, this rasa is the highest, therefore I want that. But it's not about that. That means it's dependent on scripture. It's about Krishna. He's so attractive. I'm attracted to Krishna in this way. I want to serve in this way, following these devotees. It's different. So the point is one has one's natural position. It's covered by our conditioning. When the conditioning is removed, that natural position arises on its own. It's not a separate endeavor. So, the process of purifying the heart is the only process. Right? Somebody says, so sadhana bhakti, the sadhana remains. Right? Within sadhana you have, it can be activities performed based on the scripture or based on the natural attraction. But the idea is that sadhana, I mean, rag means no sadhana, that's coming from the sahajiyas. It's not a real thing. Right? So, the point is that we want to develop in Krishna consciousness, that's good. And that we are dependent on scriptures, then that's fine, because that's our natural position. But we shouldn't try to make up something to try to find some easy way. Right? Because remember, easy way and how you say? The easy way is sometimes the cheap way. The sahajya means it's easy. That's what sahaj means, it's easy. Sahajya means one who follows the easy path. But it's also known as the cheap path. Does that make sense? So one should be very careful about this. It's just a matter, it's a reality. It's either there or it's not. And if it's not, it's because the heart is contaminated. As the heart becomes purified, it will manifest. It's just like, Lord Chaitanya gives the example of cleaning the mirror of the mind. You take a cloth, you start rubbing on the mirror. Depending on how thick the covering is, you can't see anything, or it starts to get, then you start to get a glimmer. Like, you said? Yes, you had?
Yeah. All right, so let's say sadhaka sincerely practicing Vaidisadhana Bhakti.
Right.
So what defines that one turns into rag and then continue that, and one doesn't, just continue.
Just a matter of the nature of their position. What is the particular anartas and or the association, all these kind of aspects. But the point is this, it will always turn to rag by the time you get to the Brahma-Bhuta platform. Because in the Brahma-Bhuta platform, then you're not dealing, you're liberated, so you're not controlled by your conditioning. So then its development is naturally rag. For us, because we're interested in Braj-Bhakti. Those from Vaikuntha, it never will, because that's not what they do. You know what I'm saying? But this thing to say it's rules, so therefore it's Vaidhi, and then the person's saying that, but then he's depending upon scripture to give that definition, so what he's saying is also Vaidhi. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's the thing, is that there's this idea it's something else. No, it's not. It's just when the heart is in its natural position, that natural attraction is there. And so that... So we should be enthusiastic to follow the process to purify the heart, and then this will manifest whenever it does. But the earliest it can actually manifest where it's a practical stage is nishtha. Not before, because Rupa Goswami uses the term after anartha nivritti. So now you have two stages you could call anartha nivritti. You have the shraddha, the prema stage, you know, that we will say is the beginning, the first of the three in the Madhyama platform. And so then that's there, because then, but that platform means you have a glimmer of what is the generic flavor, not specific.
Yeah.
Right? So the specific you can only know after anartha nivritti means you've gotten rid of your conditioned nature. Means you don't identify with it, you're not functioning. So either you've left the body and you've come to that platform, or you're still within the body and you've given up that platform. Then they can function work within the Ekadas Bhav and actually function. Before that, it's just you have a generic idea. Because following the footsteps means then you're following, first of all, we have the Brajbasis, that full surrender. So everybody can follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Then it may be a particular group. You know what I'm saying? As it goes, just like we see with Lord Brahma, that before, I think, verse 29, when it's describing the creation and everything, it said Lord Brahma then understood his position as a maidservant. But it didn't say he understood who he was as a maidservant.
So that's the stage we're talking about right now.
That's the lower stage.
Yeah, the general.
That's the general. That's the one that, you know, somewhere in that earlier stage. Because that's the first point. Then there's the specific.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the generic is then the specific. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why the sahaji is, because they just immediately work with the specific.
Yeah.
Without the general. And without the sadhana. Without, you know, it's just completely bogus. So it's based on scripture, then they understand this is the highest. They, you know, because of their pride, they want to be the best. Otherwise, why the question of, well, can I change it, or can I do this and that? Because they're worried about the Shastra content of this is higher. But also in other places, it says it's not higher. The element of higher is simply it contains the lower rasas. That's all. Means Shanta is there all through all five rasas. But if there's only Shanta, it's called Shanta. But when you have Shanta and it's mixed with a sense of possessiveness, so there's that sense of rendering direct service rather than just appreciation, then that position of the combination of Shanta with that sense of possession, that's called servitorship. Then when that servitorship that has those two then has a more intimacy, where there's that feeling of equalness, then that's called friendship. So it has the other two in it. So in that way, you're saying it's higher. But as far as the position goes, you know, does Radharani tell Mother Yashoda what to do? You know what I'm saying? So socially, it works in its natural form. But it's just that it has more things applying in it. That's all. So that's why we make it. But otherwise, you don't make those distinctions. They don't go, well, we're in higher rasas. They don't do that. So if we're looking at it from social prestige, then we don't have the purity of heart to actually appreciate what we're working with. Right? So that we have an inclination at all, that's good. That shows there's some purity of heart, but it's not enough to actually make it effective. So we have to continue with the process. So that's why Prabhupada says it's automatic. We're hearing the things, we're like that, when the heart becomes purified, then when you hear these things in a more pure heart, it creates its particular attraction. To say, no, no, you have to just do this. No, that's not how it works. Does that make sense? Because when they say someone's a rasik, it's a generic term. It means they appreciate rasa. But if you only appreciate a particular rasa, not other rasas, you're not a rasik. Right? You know, it's just like, let's say, the guy only appreciates tacos of a particular kind. But he really knows them well. You wouldn't, the word connoisseur wouldn't come up as the first. You know, you could say he really knows his tacos. Okay, great. The connoisseur means he appreciates good taste. So it doesn't matter what cuisine it is, what preparation, if it's cooked nicely, properly, it's appreciated. Therefore, rasiks can, in breads, can appreciate the pastimes of Ramachandra. Because this rasa, the rasa that's going on between that, they have their own preference. You know, just because you're a connoisseur doesn't mean you don't have your preference, what preparations you like best. So it's not impersonal, oh, it's just everything. Or it's just, so that's the problem, is because of these things of karma and jnana, then it's either just nothing or just specifically one. It doesn't have that appreciation of all things. And unless that is there, then we see is we don't really appreciate how the whole process, how to elevate, how to help someone develop Krishna consciousness. Because we only see a particular thing, and if you're not doing that, you can't be Krishna conscious. Does that make sense? You know, just like, let's say, someone goes to church nicely, you know, tries, you know, follow authority there, is respectable to the parents, and, you know, does their schoolwork nicely and all that and that. But the problem is they're, you know, from that distracted from Krishna consciousness, right? Then you, let's say, somebody in there, they're going about and then they meet that person, right? So the general thing, what we will say is that their particular, that lifestyle of the living, it's bogus, because it's not, you know, nothing to do with Krishna. So then they don't keep anything from that. Right? And then they're supposed to practice Krishna consciousness. But now you're accepting the philosophy of Krishna consciousness without the religion of Krishna consciousness as natural support. So now for a while you can go on in that enthusiasm because it's new, but basically within 3 to 4 years, you need some religion. So then what are you going to do? You're just going to go back to whatever you had before. And then you're going to try to have to somehow or another say your lifestyle you're doing there and connect it with the philosophy and try to, you know, stick square pegs in round holes, and you know, the whole thing. Just get a big enough hammer, it's supposed to work. And does that make sense? So that's the difficulty that comes up. So then... to be able to understand, then you appreciate what the guy's doing. I guess, yeah, there's a door over here. Yeah, walk out that door. Does this make sense? So then to see is that, yes, so you have faith in authority, that you study nicely, you have respect for, you know, parents and like this, you have respect for the priests, you have respect for scripture, that's all good. But it's just, why not go deeper? Why not add Krishna to that and find out what's the deeper aspect? And why are we respecting parents? Why are we respecting these? So then it doesn't maintain that material fragrance, it takes on the transcendental. So those things that need to be adjusted, so instead of reading the Bible, they'll be reading the Gita. But the point is that they will find it a valuable thing to spend time reading scripture that remains. Otherwise, it's just all bogus. So anything you were doing before is bogus. So then you're left with nothing. Right? So it's just that switch from karma to gyan. Right? If I'm not doing it, then it's, you know, if it's not good, it's all bad. You understand? Then you end up with no religion. And as we said, then you'll just fall back into whatever your previous religion is. Religion meaning not necessarily the specific, but the generic kind of practices. You know, your lifestyle, how you do things, how you view things, what you eat, how you dress. You know. Does that make sense? Some things you'll catch. But that's why then we see along with, though it's not direct devotional service, then things like the Varnashram and then austerity, study of scriptures, all these religious principles are recommended because they're naturally support for the direct activities. Does that make sense? Yes.
And the eight levels of rasa, like first one is rati, which is defined as the general appreciation for the rasa.
Yes.
So unless you attain that stage, you cannot move into other stages which are very specific.
Yes, because that's where the generic is, because that's the only place you can use it.
Mm.
You know, it's just like saying, no, I can cook and I'm not in the kitchen. If you know cooking, no, you can only cook in the kitchen. You can't cook in your living room. You know what I'm saying? You know, what are you going to do? You know, take the take that fruit bowl with the fruit on it and stick it on top of the couch, and then you know, take your shoe and start moving it around, and then when you finish, you'll have this great subject. Yeah, what are they talking about? Cooking happens in the kitchen. So when you're on the platform of bhava, then these things can be applied. Before that, you can appreciate. Just like you can read a cookbook and appreciate. Right? Like, you know, that's why they make those pictures. Like, you get a cookbook with no pictures in it, it's like, eh. You know, but you get with it, you know, so the pictures, there's more picture than there are recipes. You know, it's in 2 pages, you know, the whole thing, most of it's picture, and then there's a little bit of recipe. You know, that's the inspiration, right? Because it's the carrots, you know. That's why no one goes for the Bengali cookbooks. It's just all it is simple definitions. The whole, that's it. There's no pictures. Like that, yeah. So does that make sense? Yeah. So the point is that element of appreciating what's there, and what Bhaktivinoda Thakura is talking about is that you have that position. What's useless, that's dropped, but what's useful, that's kept. So those good qualities, those good practices, in principle, are all kept. Then you just add in which book you should be studying, which priests, you know, what are the higher, means the priests are there, but then these priests know the absolute truth, while the others know the ritual, so that's higher. You know, just like we make a distinction between the upadhyayas, you know, and the acharya. Because the upadhyaya means they teach you a specific knowledge. Acharya means they teach you transcendence. Does that make sense? So there's a distinction. There's different levels. But the respect is there for all of them. It's just that there's more respect. So there's respect. We'll always respect the priest, no matter what the background. But then you're going to give more to those who actually understand the absolute truth. And then those who practice that, who realize that, then it just goes more and more. So that remains. Does that make sense? So then how to approach and how to preach then becomes very clear. So that's why it says purity is the force. Books are the basis. Right? So books are the basis, that's what you preach, but it's the purity that allows that to be appreciated. Because the more pure we are, the more we understand. Because then it says preaching is the essence, right? So the essence means that jiva doya, how to engage the living entity. Right? So, and yukta vairagya means it's all about Krishna. It's Krishna's energy, so we use his energy in serving him. Hence the examples of offering a lamp to the sun or Ganga water back to the Ganga. Right? So when you pick up a handful of Ganga water and offer it to the Ganga, that's yukta vairagya. right? Because you're taking it, you're connecting it to Ganga without any a motive for yourself. Does that make sense? Yeah. Good? Rather, greed spontaneously develops on hearing or seeing an object worthy of greed. Right? Yeah. But there will be dependence on scriptures for inquiry concerning the method of attaining that sweet bhava, since the method is written in scriptures and nowhere else. The scripture which expounds this worship is Bhagavatam. Right? So, now how to apply that greed you have, that scripture will do. Right? But it's not based on scripture that you develop greed. That's because you come in contact of an object worthy of it, right? Which means Krishna. So, make sense? Then the scriptures will explain what processes are used by those who have greed. Does that make sense? Just like what's a recipe book? A recipe book is recipes by someone who does cook. Let's say we have a cookbook, and in there's 50 recipes. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so it's like, how you say? You know, 100 and some odd pages. Right? So 2 pages is 1 recipe, right? So, like we said. But is that all they can cook? No, they can cook without that. So, the point is, scriptures then define how to do those things. Right? And the activities of cooking, whether you know cooking or not, then will be a value. If you know cooking, then it gives you a direction. If you don't know cooking, then you follow it exactly, then you'll get a result. Does that make sense? Yeah? Among the acts of worship, there are 5 types. Some acts are filled with bhava, some are related to that bhava, some are favorable to the bhava, some are not contrary to the bhava, and some are contrary to the bhava. Right, so this is that point we talked about before, is what's we accept and what we don't. Right, so the filled with bhava means the chanting. Let's say, right, the 5 direct activities. Those are that first level. Some are related to that bhava. You know, things that are. You know, we have our beads, we have like this and that. Then some are favorable to the bhava, right? So it's just like an example of taking a bath. It's favorable. But it can also be used in some other way, but it's favorable, so it's not an ultimate. And then that helps us there. Some are not contrary to the bhava. So that means it's not contrary, but we wouldn't necessarily... And then some are contrary to the bhava. So... I would say in this case that the bath would be not contrary. So it's just a matter of these are the levels. There's stuff that's against, there's this not contrary, then it's favorable, it's related, and then it's directly the activity. So then the scriptures will explain all that. So that's why the acharyas, they understand this because they're on that platform of the bhava. And so then being in that platform of bhava, then they can explain what is useful and what's not. That's why we don't make up our own process. Right? We accept that the authority is there. We accept that it's given in Scripture. And so from that, then we function. So it's not blind because we analyze it. We see it. It's all there. It's logical. We look at it. We're convinced. Then we accept it. Right? You can say, no, but I want to keep the scientific mind. It says that, why are we doing that? Why? There's a bus there. Right? You look at the sign on the signage on the bus, then you get on the bus, right? But how is that scientific? Because according to Syadvad, maybe they're going to that place, maybe they're not. Maybe the guy just didn't change the sign. You know, he got on the bus, forgot to change the sign. He was on a different route. You know, maybe the guy, you know, just, you know, is going a different place because he wants to pick up his girlfriend. You know. Like that, and you're like, why are you going this way? I like traffic, you know. You know what I'm saying? You know, what if the guys are taking the bus, and they don't care if you are on it, but if you know, they'll once they get out into the out in the desert there, then you guys can get off.
In India, generally the depots, bus depots, are where like outside the main places. So if you get out in the depot, you have to walk at least a few kilometers.
So you know, you end up anywhere. Yes.
In our Vaishnava community, we don't know who is on what level. But there's definitely devotees who have, you know, eagerness and for higher taste. Where is the nourishment coming from?
Means from theirs. Means the holy name itself.
They want more. If someone wants more in the Vaishnava community, in our movement.
But who are you talking about? The ones that already have that taste? Or
the devotees who are cultivating the taste and beginning to relish.
But if they're beginning to relish, then the process they're using is already working.
Yeah.
So you just keep doing that.
So you can do this.
Just like if you have a bowl of something, and you take a spoon, you stick it inside and put it in your mouth, and you like the taste.
Yes. Again.
You just keep doing that.
So you're saying an individual can gradually elevate himself or herself on a higher platform.
Just say themselves, if you're worried about it. See, in Sanskrit, the masculine is the generic.
Right.
So when you say he, that means everybody. So when like when you see sometimes probably bring it out and it says, you know, the how you say, living entity, he becomes to attach to wife, this, that. Yeah. But then you'll see afterwards they'll comment now and again, not always, not every time, but occasionally it says that means the women, they get attached to their husband, this, that, you know, it's like this. So it's the same thing, but just he is the, so either use he is generic, or if you're going to use he, she, or it, then yes, then you use they or one or person or it. Yeah, well nowadays it. But nowadays it's an actually a position, right? You know? Yeah. No, go ahead.
So can they, can someone,
can anyone
graduate in these higher levels of Krishna consciousness?
Why not?
Without external nourishment from a senior Vaishnava? From
no, but the point is you're saying that there are senior Vaishnavas, right? And you're saying individuals are getting this taste, so it could either be in those persons or person other than them. And so then it's also given that one should associate with like-minded that are more advanced. So then that's what keeps things going. So we have there that direct association we can get, we have by studying the scriptures. Like here, we should appreciate that the Goswamis, they have that taste. And so then by that kindness, then they are explaining more detail for us, make it more accessible, so that we can appreciate what Rupa Goswami has given. Like that. So all the acharyas after Rupa, they'll support that aspect. So then through reading the literatures, like that, Bhagavatam and those works in pursuance of the Bhagavatam that the Goswamis have given, then those who are, you know, committed to those kind of aspects, and then, you know, then we, by that association, then we can always advance. That's what the process is for. That's why it's an international society, so that there's always that kind of association. So it's the sadhusanga that's the most important. But when we talk about community, it's not community just meaning that, you know, everybody's there, and because everybody's there, then, you know, everybody can be nice and everybody can be happy and like this and that. But what's the basis of all that? That basis will be that by associating with other like-minded devotees, then you're inspired in Krishna consciousness. That's what will make you happy. Does that make sense? Other things aren't going to make you happy. Because otherwise, if it was, then all these different individuals and groups and clubs, they would be happy as anything. But they're not. You know, they get used to it, they're comfortable and all that, but it's not that. Are you saying? Hence the song, "The Thrill Is Gone." No?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the... So it's always available. That's the point. It's always available. It's just, if we want it, then it'll work. And if we don't want it, then we won't get it. If we want the association, we'll get. If we don't want, then Krishna will arrange that you don't get. So don't worry. Angas of bhakti, like Dasya and Sakya, are filled with bhava. Chanting mantra and meditating, arising from surrender to the lotus feet of guru, are related to one's bhava. Hearing and remembering pastimes, qualities, and names of the Lord suitable to one's bhava and its associates, as well as various services of the deities, are angas related to one's bhava. Right? So he's giving here how it's working. Renunciation and enjoyment by performing Ekadasi, Janmashtami, or Kartik vows with a desire to attain one's bhava and respecting the Ashwata and Tulsi are favorable to one's bhava because they purify. Right? And the purified heart is able to appreciate. Right? It's because of conditioning that's the problem. Greeting the deity, offering respects, and wearing deity garlands are not contrary to one's bhava. All these activities should be done. Mudras, nyasas, and meditating on Dwarka are contrary to one's bhava and should not be done on the path of Rag. One should perform those actions prescribed in scriptures for which one is qualified and avoid all forbidden acts. So the forbidden acts are left, and then of the recommended acts, those that you're qualified for, that's what you follow.
Yes. Which mudras he's talking about?
We mentioned yesterday the mudras and yasas that are means meditating on Dwarka. That's obvious, and so the mudras and yasas that are used within the direct worship itself. When you're offering directly the 16 items, then generally they're not used, unless it's something that the acharyas mention. Because here's that the yasas they do on themselves. They say the mantras and they put them on themselves. We put them on the deity, but we don't put them on ourselves. Does that make sense? It's a different mood. Just like Narayan Kavacha, you're putting all the mantras on the... We don't use that one. Because that's what it's meant here. It's just, it's not one of the... It's bona fide, but we don't use it. Does that make sense? But we're installing the pot, it's all in yoga, then we'll do all the different things. But when we're doing the worship, we don't. You know what I'm saying? Unless there's certain ones that they recommend, like Grash Mudra, when you ask the Lord to come and take, you know, Yasanam and offer to eat. Those ones we use, but we don't use all the other ones. So, generally those are all in preparation. So the preparation they're used, but in the actual direct worship we're not using.
Because they're related to Dwarka?
They're related to the Dwarka, to the awe and reverence thing. Because in majesty, then everything's done. You do the lamp, then it's all purified, and that. You show the mudra, then you show the lamp. You do all these different things. So we don't do those. It's not important. You know, most of them don't do it either, so I'm not sure how well they'll do. But you know. So they're all there, it's mentioned. So it's just depending upon what is your position. So like Hari Bhakti Vilas will mention them all. But depending upon what is your level of worship, that's what you're going to use. So if it is a Vaikuntha, then the Vaishnava means, in other words, Hari Bhakti Vilas is for all Vaishnavas. So it's gone through all the scriptures and shown what's directly a kaina that's going to be get you back to Godhead. Now within that, then we're going to have our recommendations for if you want to go to Braj, then you certain ones you won't use, like it mentions here. Mudras, Nyas, and meditate. On Dwarka. Okay. Yeah.
Vaishnavas means the four sampradayas.
Yes, yes. Because all four sampradayas can find their conclusions in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Because it'll show the essence. Like that. Because otherwise they might get distracted because the Pancharatra works are very big. So that they have the essence. So anyone from any sampradaya studying Hari Bhakti Vilas will get a very clear picture of what is, you know, a kind of bhakti. You know, pure devotional service. But then within that, our acharyas recommend certain activities. That's why Hari Bhakti Vilas is there. Then there's a tika on it. So Sanatana Goswami always writes the book, and having written the book and given the knowledge, then he goes back and writes a commentary on it. right? Because the book then is the essence, and the commentary so you understand it. Okay. No, I'm not sure if it's done in other sampradayas, but it's particular to our sampradaya that they'll do this. Some say, why don't they write it together? But then you won't necessarily understand what the essence is. So they write the two, then you know this is describing this verse. So then if you go back, once you understand it, then you can read just the verses, and then you can remember what's the essential points. Okay. 12. Bhava Bhakti arises by the mercy of the Lord, or is devotee on the maturation of sadhana bhakti. So it's on the mercy of the Lord as devotee, on maturation of sadhana. It's not that there's a particular sadhana. It doesn't say Bhava Bhakti arises by your performance of your own and made up system of sadhana. It just says mercy of the Lord and his devotees. On the maturation of that. So that means you're following what's recommended. And then by the mercy of the Lord or his devotee, then that brings you to the platform of Bhava. Mm-hmm. Right? Because there's nothing you can do in sadhana to get yourself to Bhava. It's simply when that naturally matures by Krishna's grace, then you get. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? Like let's say you want to make a cake. You put together the batter, put it into the thing, you put it into the oven. Right? Now, once it goes into the oven, is there something you can do to make it cook? Sit there and cook, like this. Right? No. You just have to let it mature. There's nothing you can do. So that's the point. You follow the process as given by the Acharya, and it will mature naturally. But we have, that's what has to be the desire. That's our endeavor. So the sadhana means it's about pure devotion. So I mean, that's our intent. Then it will go quicker. And if it's not, it'll go slower. Right?
But will the speed, how it matures, will it really depend on the intensity of the practice?
So you're saying if we take that cake and put it into a Napoli pizza oven that a pizza cooks in 90 seconds, right? Because that's the accepted, DOP. It has to be, it's 90 seconds. If it's quicker than that, it's too quick. If it's slower than that, it's too slow. You won't get the actual Napoli pizza. So you're saying if we take that cake batter and put it in that oven, then will we speed up the process and we'll get our cake in 90 seconds? What do you think? You don't know. Yeah, so cooking's not your forte, so you don't know so much about it. No, it'll burn. The cake's got to take, what do they take?
40 minutes.
Yeah, 40 minutes. Some cakes are a little slower, some a little quicker, but they take a long time. So that means the first you cook pizza in there, right? Then the fire's gone, then the next thing down, then you can cook bread in there. Then it goes down again, another cut loud, then you can cook cakes. That's the science. Like that? Then after that, when it cools down enough, then the dog climbs in there and keeps himself warm. for sleeping overnight. Right? So, you understand? So, it's only your desire to please Krishna and trying to do everything nicely to serve the spiritual master, then it goes along nicely. But it's not that there's some trick or some other kind of little thing like that, Does that make sense? Everybody else chants on the beads this way, but if you chant backwards, it goes quicker. Hey, it worked in, Ready Player One. So, that's how it's going to happen.
Within this example, let's say if you want to chant two rounds more. So it will make sense if we're going to do this.
Yeah, but you're chanting at the same speed. The same mantra, the same everything. You just want to, if you can do more volume of it, why not? Just like if you cook more cakes, you'll have a bigger cake. You understand? It's just a matter of you apply yourself. But what we're discussing here is that the systems have been given. It's just you follow those systems with the desire of pure devotion. Then it's going to work. But there's no tricks. That's the what I'm talking about. Like that. But the point is if you want to go quicker, then focus more. Focus is what makes endeavor work better. But if sometimes we chant, sometimes we don't, sometimes we practice, sometimes we don't, then there's no focus, so it'll be slower. And if we're regular to see that what we're doing is going on a regular basis, then it goes quicker. Because regularity is the key. Right? If it's regular, then Krishna takes it, you're serious. Prabhupada gives the example, if someone comes on the door and knocks, just one knock, then you, what was that, but nothing more, then you don't really, there's a good chance you won't walk over to the door. Right? And if someone just knocks regular and then stops, you'll walk over when, it works out for you. But if they just keep banging on the door, you'll go over there very quickly. So you keep chanting 24 hours a day, it'll go quicker. You chant your 16 rounds, and as soon as the last beat on the 16th round is done, and yeah, finished, then it'll go good. But, you chant more, it'll go quicker. But it has to be balanced. It has to be for what you are qualified. You can't do more and then not do other things. Does that make sense? Yeah. Its signs are 9 buds of devotion, right? The Bhava Bhakti. The Anubhavas are characteristics of a person who has developed the bud of Bhava are as follows. Tolerance, not wasting time. Detachment from enjoyment. Pridelessness, right? Detachment from enjoyment doesn't mean if they take prasad they don't enjoy, but they're detached from that they're eating prasad because they'll enjoy. Mm-hmm. Right, so it's not a particular taste, it's just a matter of that serving Krishna. Pridelessness, confidence in the Lord's mercy, longing for the Lord, right, because there's that confidence, this is a process given by the Lord, we follow it, the Lord will be kind. We have that confidence, not, oh, maybe he will, maybe he won't, what if he doesn't, that's not what we're talking about. Longing for the Lord, taste for chanting the name of the Lord. Attachment to discussing about the Lord's qualities and attachment to living in the abode of the Lord. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1:3, 25-26. Like that. I even think Prabhupada in the first. It's here, 1:3. Yeah, so it's on the first page of Nectar Devotion. This is the, this point is being made. Oh no, but here's the third chapter. But Prabhupada, I think, in the first page is there. Just so you understand what you're going for. Does this make sense? So, therefore, you have that desire, but these are the natural characteristics that develop. So that's the difference. The Sahajiya thinks he's just, because he wants, he's on that platform. The thoughtful person then will notice that, okay, I want that platform, but I haven't developed all these nicely. Yeah. So therefore, I continue the sadhana, being aware that I try to be tolerant, I try to be not waste time, I try to be detached from enjoyment, I try to be prideless, I try to have confidence in the Lord's mercy. I make that endeavor. And so naturally with practice, that develops. So that's why having the knowledge, then you focus on it. So that's why this regular reading, regular association, then we're reminded of these things. Because otherwise, then, when's the last time we read Nectar Devotion? Right? Yeah, now. What do you mean, last time? I'm reading it now. Right? So we're reading. So now we're reminded. Otherwise, we might have forgotten this point. Right? So, at this time, one becomes qualified to meet Krishna directly. If one sees symptoms of bhava in persons who desire liberation, this is a reflection of bhava, pratibimba, not real bhava. No, in other words, they're around someone who has that mood, and that's being reflected on them. It's just like if you're with an enthusiastic person, you become enthusiastic, but that person goes away, you're not enthusiastic. So that's reflection. Right? Symptoms seen in ignorant persons are a shadow of bhava, chaya. Right? The symptoms are there. But they're, they don't know like that, so then it's also in that association, but it's. So it's just a matter of you seeing what is shadow, there's more substance. Pratibimda is just, it's like a mirror, it just reflects back. But so the what's reflecting doesn't have any of those qualities. Right? The chaya means it's there, but it's like a shadow, it's not very much. Does that make sense? 13. When bhava becomes mature, when bhava matures, it becomes prema. Its sign is that there's no decrease in the love at all in spite of obstacles. Right? Because sometimes we'll be very enthusiastic, but if obstacles come up, then we become less. Right? So, that's, so the whole idea is sometimes we'll ask, why does Krishna make all these obstacles? I just want to serve. Because that's the whole point, is when there's obstacles and we still want to serve, then that means we really want to serve. Yes. It's come to a more mature state. So these give us opportunity to practice. Right? Plus, Krishna, he does many things at once. So then there's some anartas, some other things like that. You know, some qualities that need some correction. So Krishna does all that by that one activity. That, yeah. But otherwise, we see in the spiritual world, there so many obstacles are there, but there's not a problem. I mean, gopis, it's the highest rasa, right? And so then one would think there'd be no obstacles, right? But you know, those on Shanta, okay, they can have a few obstacles, right? Does that make sense? But the point is, in Shanta, basically, there are no obstacles. It's just a constant thing like that. And we see as it goes up, there's more obstacles. So it's just the way it works.
Yeah, that in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, people are enriched, preaching to Gop Kumar. He says, why would you go through all those obstacles? Just meditate in the mind, and then there's no obstacles.
But then it's Shanta. Because there's no obstacles. So the point is, there's nothing. It's all Krishna. It's all there. So you're never separated. There's nothing. But we see as that possession comes in, then possession means that there's positions in which that can be expressed. Right? It's just like the servants. Okay, they can be there, like in Nanda Bhavan, like that. The cow, but let's say when they go out into the forest, they can go out and deliver things, but they can't take part there. They can support, but they can only do that. Just like the other, they're supporting, but they're not taking part. The parental rasa, they're just supporting. Now the friends can be there in the house, they can also be there out in the field. Right? So it has those aspects. But then at certain times, you see, is when certain things are going on, then the cowherd boys aren't there. But it's just the elder gopis and all that, generally the cowherd boys aren't there. Like that. And then when the gopis are there, then they're not involved, unless they're confidential. And even then, it's only in specific situations. It's not all situations. Does that make sense? So, it's always going to naturally have its position. And so then the different positions are expressed in different ways. And so then that makes one rasa favorable to another or not. It doesn't mean that there's a problem like we have with each other. It means that you can't express your rasa. When it says this, when it's inimical to that one, it's enemies, it just means that when these two are together, you can't express your rasa. Right? So, the parental means you can't express the conjugal when parental's there, because it's more formal. Like that. But it's not that the gopis aren't at Nanda Bhavan cooking for Krishna. It just means they can't manifest all those. They can only manifest through the mediums that Mother Jashoda uses. Right? So the cooking, the serving prasad, giving Krishna's bath, that's what they can do. Does that make sense? So it's just like, is there a time frame on how long something takes? Just in general, if it's just Krishna and the gopis, no one else is there. How long does the Noka Leela have to take? Is there a time frame? No. But Krishna's taking a bath to get ready for something else. There's a time frame. Right? So when the gopis try to bathe Krishna in the afternoon, because Mother Yashoda is making other arrangements, Then the problem comes up is then Krishna doesn't always cooperate. Oh, I don't like this, and oh, not that, and this and that. So he slows it down. So then when Mother Yashoda comes back after the set amount of time that she should be ready, she comes back and the bath's not finished. So then she chastises the gopis. Right? And so then Krishna laughs at that. Right? Is that... You know, so... That's the whole. So they're different. You can't express the two. But as far as expressing the conjugal rasa, it was going perfectly. But when you put it in the context of the framework of the parental, it doesn't match. Therefore, then it'll create obstacles. Right? But the point is that the love that the devotee has on this platform is not affected by this. That's the whole point. It doesn't affect them. It will deepen. So when Krishna that comes up, then it'll just deepen the relationship with Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that when so committed, it doesn't matter what's happening, that commitment to serve Krishna, be committed to Krishna, always remains. Whether a particular activity can be done or not, or that, you may think, oh, Krishna doesn't want this done because you've tried something, it's not working. Especially if there's other options, or it's not specifically your duty, but it's something that could fall into the context of your duty. You know, then you might try something else. And if that works, then you understand that's there. But if everything you do doesn't work, then it just means you're supposed to try. Right? And maybe the quality of pridelessness needs development. Like that. Because of extreme possessiveness of Krishna, special sneha develops after prema. Its sign is melting of the heart. Then pranaya arises. Then raga arises. Its quality is intense affection. Its quality is deep trust. Right? So here the raga arises. So we see it also, intense affection. It's called deep trust. So that trust is there. So even those obstacles, that trust in Krishna doesn't go away. So I say, see, the Brajvasis, no matter what happens, it doesn't change their rasa. But you see, in Vaikuntha, if one brings up too much about his grandeur, it stops their specific rasa. And everyone just takes on the quality of dasya. Right? Does that make sense? So it switches out of that, and then they feel that they have to act in that way. But with the Brajbasis, it won't, because of this aspect of rag. So depending upon the particular rasa, its taste goes to a particular level. Right? That we'll see, it'll come up.
Later. After rag. The 8 stages after rag, then there is anurag and mahabha.
Yeah, but rag and anurag are two different things.
Yeah.
14. Rasa arises from the combination of vibhava, anubhava, sattvika bhavas, vyavichari bhavas with the stai bhava. Right? So the stai bhava is there. So these other four with the stai bhava, then that gives rasa. That gives taste. When the bhava is directed to Krishna, Krishna is known as the vishaya alambana in the vibhavas. Right? He's the alambana. And then the devotee is the ashraya. The person endowed with the bhava for Krishna, the devotee, is called the ashraya alambana in the vibhavas. Right? So the alambana is just the who has the flavor, who's the flavor directed toward, who's the shelter of that flavor. Like the parental rasa, Mother Yashoda is the shelter. And Krishna is the object of that shelter. Right? So it's about Krishna. So that's the alambana. Right? And then you have, what's the other one?
Udipana,
it means the symptoms that cause this to come up, right? Objects like his clothing or ornaments, which cause remembrance of Krishna, are called the udipana in the vibhavas. Right? So the vibhava means you have the sattvika bhava, the stai bhava. Then when the vibhava comes into play, that's going to then generate the anubhavas. Right? So this anubhava, sattvika bhava, and vyavichari bhavas can all be categorized as anubhavas. Just if you're just not going to mention them all or get specific in one or the other. You're just talking about the response to the vibhavas. But otherwise, it's one of those three. Right? So we in the Vedic, I say, definitions, the one that's the prominent, can be used as the definition for the whole group, even though it still has its own definition within that whole group. Does that make sense? So Anubhava can refer to all of these three, but it also specifically means this one and this, that the mental, the other is the physical, right? The sattvic bhavas. And then the vyavichari are transitory that happen within the Anubhava. So you can have one main Anubhava and then all these transitory happening at the same time. Does that make sense? Yeah. But they can all be caused that because they're all in support of that. They're all the result of the vibhava in relationship to the sthayibhava. Does that make sense? Okay. Let's stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samavetai Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi. It's interesting to note that when it's talking about bhava, then there's always these questions and that, and how to kind of, you know, shoehorn our way in and like that, and how can we do that, and the rag, and all, we can somehow, but once it gets into this, where it actually starts talking about rasa, you know, and the five aspects of rasa, at that point, that's when just everything goes quiet.
Most everybody doesn't understand.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but it's interesting. What's below that, because that's the thing, is that what we've bumped into from the material platform will only be what's below. The sadhus don't deal with these upper parts. They only deal below that. You know.